This is The Art of the Interview with Stephen Adams. And we're here with Mickey Blaine, writer-director of the film Commit, and one of the stars of the film, Nicole Blaine, who you might have guessed is actually married to Mickey. There's a very interesting story behind that relationship, which they will tell you all about in just a moment. Also interesting is that this film was shot in three continuous takes over just 2 days and for only $10,000, which in and of itself is a major feat. But what's also interesting is that Santa Monica High School plays a very interesting role in the production and background of this film. Without further ado, Mickey Blaine and Nicole Blaine. We have Mickey and Nicole Blaine here talking about the film Commit. And there's a very interesting story behind this collaboration, so I'd like to hear a little bit about that. This film was shot for 10K and three continuous takes over 2 days, which makes it kind of an extraordinary technical achievement as well. But tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the story, Mickey.
The inspiration for the story, we were in New York working on a show, Pipe Dreams, and it was raining a lot that August, and I spent a lot of time in coffee shops waiting for our productions and thinking about New York and kind of falling in love with New York. And I wanted to write a story that sort of took place in New York and sort of dealt with a lot of issues that I felt people I knew were dealing with. And this story just sort of came to mind. And I saw a coffee shop, and I saw rain, and I saw two people meeting, and just things started to fall in place. And that's what it turned into. A year later, after we got back, we were shooting. It was amazing. That quick of a process for just writing it and getting it together.
And Nicole, tell me about your challenge, about how the two of you met.
I was 13 years old, eighth grade. And I was in middle school at Lincoln in Santa Monica. And my friend had an older sister who was at Santa Monica High School. And she was in a play, and she was dating some really hot guy. And so I had to go support. And I saw this guy on stage that she was dating and peed my pants. He was so cute.
I had the biggest pompadour in the cast.
Yes.
And tell us, what was the play?
Grease. And he was Kanicki.
Come on, we need these details.
You know, I mean, because he's the cool
he's
guy.
He's the 50s dream boy thing.
Yeah, and he had all this makeup on. I mean, who doesn't fall in love with a guy with makeup when you're 13? So, I mean, I remember when he shook my hand and met me after the show. And, of course, I was like, I have to do theater when I go to school here. And the next year, I went to Santa Monica High School, and I joined the theater company just so I could be near this guy, and that was Mickey. And I had a crush on him all through high school, and I dated his best friend just because I was prepubescent and not cute, and this other guy would go for me, and that way I was friends with him. And I went off to college.
Like a typical woman, strategizing.
Yes, thinking ahead. How can I get close to the hot guy? I'll have sex with his friend.
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh.
Always works, ladies. Always works.
So I went off to college, and I literally ran into him. And he was like, you should totally page me. So
awesome.
I did.
So you hadn't lost any of that flair and that brio that he'd learned on stage in Greece.
Yeah, no, I lost the pager. I lost the pager. I guess we're dating ourselves with that information.
Yeah, really.
We're not giving away ages on this show.
Yeah.
This is Hollywood. We don't talk about such things.
Right.
And we have been together ever since I was 19, so it's been 13 years.
And you guys have a new creation as well, is that so?
Yes, we have a 16-month-old daughter at home.
Yeah.
That so there's a testimony. This obviously had to be destined. And then your other collaborators also have that history with you guys in terms of Santa Monica High School.
Yeah.
Yes, our star, Forrest Erickson, he also went to Santa Monica High School. He was a year younger than me, and I actually just worked with him again. He directed a project that I worked on, Pirate Ninja Adventure Go. He directed one episode. I directed another episode. It's a web series. And then our DP... for Commit, Michael Good also directed one of the episodes. Our assistant director, Nick Kokic.
He went to SAMO with us.
He went to SAMO and directed an episode.
Sorry, SAMO is Santa Monica High School.
I'm gathering that was the acronym.
Yeah.
So some of the guys that provided a lot of the music, one of them was the creator of this web series that I've worked on. So it's been a pretty incestuous relationship.
We shot it, actually. We shot Commit at Santa Monica High School Theater. It takes place in a coffee shop in a motel. Right. And so I went around location scouting. And the way that we were going to shoot this was 30-minute, three of them uncut takes.
Right.
So we needed to find a room that was big enough that we could move a camera around and have lights hanging from the ceiling. Otherwise, they'd be in the shot. So it was really tough for me to find coffee shops that had huge rafters that we could actually afford. So I was begging people to give me stuff. And I found a couple coffee shops that were super cool, but it was just never was big enough. So I went back to my old high school theater teacher, Dr. Frank X. Ford, who was the reason we obviously met and under, you know, his direction.
And he's still there functioning and
just
stimulating.
Retired.
He just retired, but he was there when we shot.
But he was there when we shot it.
I mean, because if this is any indication, I don't mean to interrupt, but if this is any indication, the guy must be phenomenal.
He's phenomenal.
Because he seems to have influenced and
so many people. So he is an unbelievable teacher and mentor. We got lucky to have him as a teacher, and it's amazing to go back, you know, over 10 years later and say, hey, Dr. Ford, can we have this room? He goes, my house is your house. Do whatever you need. He gave us, I mean, the reason we were able to film this truly was because of this man.
Wow.
And it's the reason we met, and it's the reason we're together. And
that's an amazing tribute to someone.
Phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
We had a big, the room, I think, was about 60 feet by close to 60 feet, and we were just able to get in there. And
we built the whole set and hung all the lights like a theater, and they were all on dimmers. I'll tell you, you're the technical
such a huge boon.
Yeah.
Because so essentially your budget was also augmented by this tremendous gift from the school.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yes, definitely. And like she said, they had the grid for the theater was hanging above it, so we were able to hang most of our lights from that, lower some boom poles and hang that. And then, like she said, we operated the lights from a dimmer, which is typical for theater, but not so typical in film. But because we were moving the camera around, you know, 360 degrees around these characters, you'd want to change her lighting when you were focused on her, and his lighting when you focused on them, and then dim them down. So we actually had to program it. And
so that gave you guys a lot of subtlety, a lot of variation in your shots. That's great. And so tell us a little bit about the story. It's a very
dark
yet uplifting story. Tell me as much as you want to tell me without giving away the ending.
Well, Mickey's the writer. You go.
I think I've really always sort of envisioned it as a metaphor for a dysfunctional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, not myself, not buying 100% into the story itself, but a lot of people have, and I support that. But I think to me, it's always just been a metaphor for, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I can't stop doing this.
But can we say a little bit about the plot itself?
Sure, we can. It's
You can say it's like the three acts of a relationship. They meet,
yes.
They get to know each other, and then do they make it or not?
Yes,
in a relationship,
very truly. But I'm talking about the hook, and I'm pushing that. I mean, I'm saying I won't say it. I need you to say it if you want to say it.
Well, no, yeah, it's fine. There are two people. They meet each other in a coffee shop on what is obviously a blind date. They haven't met each other before. They've communicated over the internet, and
so this is very, very contemporary.
Yes, very contemporary, and it's awkward conversations, like what happen when you're getting to know someone. But these seem a little more awkward and stilted, and we find out it's because they're actually both having thoughts of suicide but are scared to pull the trigger themselves, so we're looking for someone to sort of help them out. And that's what we find out, and then we go on that journey with
those
them.
People would have to make a commitment to one another.
They would have to
There's a lot of committing going on.
And that could lead to some complications.
Yes. And what are they going to... Are they going to commit to each other? Are they going to commit to their plan? Are they going to commit the crime?
Even, you know, I play Trista in the movie, and for me, it's...
And Trista means sad.
Very good.
That's what it means.
You're absolutely right, which is why that's, you know...
Yeah. Perfect.
The writer does some
I'm getting these little subtleties and admiring them.
Mm-hmm. And Perry's last name was Craven, which is sort of frightful, scared.
Yes, cowardly.
Cowardly. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of...
But
I always like when writers have names that
mean something.
That mean something but aren't necessarily so obviously meaningful.
Exactly. And most people wouldn't necessarily think immediately Trista. So.
This is the first time anyone's said that. It's the first time I've got to explain it. So I'm excited.
I love that.
You're the first.
I'm so proud.
That was impressive.
Yeah. But they have, and then they
I'm
have
impressed
their,
with you, really.
And then they have their screen names in which they meet each other, and then they also give each other some fake first names.
Hey, you want to hear our screen names? See if you can figure out the meaning behind
that. Let's see.
Lisbon Sister 6.
Lisbon Sister 6. See, now that's a mystery. Right. Are they personal?
We've had one person be able to guess this. What Lisbon Sister
Lisbon,
would be?
Portugal? No.
No.
No. No. You're that's too smart of a. It's not that cool.
There was a novel and a film. The film starring Kirsten Dunst, The Virgin Suicides.
Ah, yes.
And they were the Lisbon Sisters.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they all kill themselves.
There were five of them.
She says she's Lisbon Sister 6.
That's great.
Right.
There you go.
And then his is a little more obvious. He's boy interrupted. 77.
Okay, we get that
one. Yeah, that one's kind of lame, but... Yeah. The writer
ran
out of fuel.
Elizabeth 6 of 6 has a certain elegance to it.
She's cooler than he is.
Oh, well, hey.
She's a little hipper. She is. Yeah, her homages are a little more hip than his.
Now, talk to me about the continuous takes and the challenges both on a technical level and then again on an acting level. So why don't we start with you, Mickey?
I wrote this piece... And I just wanted to write something for two people. And originally, I was going to act in it and sort of relive my high school glory days. And we're thinking of it as a play. And then we said, I don't want to do a play. Let's just make a movie. We can do this with a movie. We'll get it. We'll rent a camera and we'll shoot it. And so I was like, okay. So I started watching other two-person movies, like Before Sunrise, Before Sunset.
My Dinner with Andre.
And I found that sometimes a cut would take me out of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was really there, and then they'd cut, and it would remind me that I was watching a movie.
Right.
And I would question, oh, well, why'd they cut there? Well, that's a weird cut. And I found myself out of it. And I was like, how could I avoid that? How could I shoot this? Well, I don't want to just shoot one wide shot. And so I said, I think I want to shoot this in one take and just have the camera move around. And I had a lot of people tell me, you can't do that. That's impossible. And then I said, so that's what I'm going to do.
Right, and our DP,
a man who likes a challenge.
Yeah, and our DP was like, there's no way. We can't do it. I can't do it. It's going to suck. And we're like, well, you're going to have to do it. And hopefully it doesn't suck.
And we tried it with a Steadicam, and that didn't work. It just didn't look right. And
it was nauseating.
We played with the dolly idea, and we just ended up on the sort of handheld because... The handheld look has sort of caught on, and it's an acceptable look.
And there's a lot of problems. You know, it took us 17 tries to get the first take all the way through without
something going wrong. So all the
technical
difficulties were being worked out.
It was so, you know, just even, you know, you got the guy in charge of wrangling the extras, you know, and on this line, this person pretends to go to the bathroom or buy a drink or whatever. And, I mean, you know, and the sound guy, of course, one of the times forgot to, like, you know, put in a new thing of tape and
ran
out.
Yeah, he tells us in the middle. Oh, yeah, I ran out in the middle of that one, so I replaced it.
Minute 23.
God. And we said, aren't you on board? Don't you
By
know
the
what
way,
we're doing? We're
did
doing.
You know?
Oh, you're not going to cut these? No, that's the idea. So that was a fun one.
And I love him, but that was okay.
But
well, we won't name any names. Yeah. Here. So the guilty know who they are. Yes. That's punishment enough.
Yes.
So technically, we rehearsed for 4 months. First of all, with the actors, and the last month the DP came in and we started practicing camera moves. And I had to use the actors. I had to sort of edit them in the rehearsal. Making them lean forward on certain points to cue a camera.
Right,
or
page
or turn
44
a certain
to 55, the pacing will be like this. Because if I was editing this, I would be chop, 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 chop. So your dialogue needs to literally be this pace.
Wow.
And he would make us watch movies that had, what was it, Bringing Home Baby?
Bringing Home Baby,
Different
His Girl
films.
Friday, old
clipped
slapstick, fast dialogue things.
Right,
and I said, this is what you have to do.
These pages, you do this. And on this one, you grab your coffee, sip it, and lean forward because the camera will be right here and I need you to block. I mean, so it was, you know, it wasn't just memorizing a 90-minute
choreography,
you know, show. It was then also physically dancing to it.
So you had the challenge of creating that sort of rhythm, and then you had the challenge of living within it and actually finding the truth inside of that rhythm. That's a lot.
It was a lot.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit more about the acting challenges. I mean, more than just those technical aspects, but what was it like creating this character and then putting it on that specific roller coaster?
Well, it's interesting because I don't think I'm really that good of an actress, but I have that good of a director who gets me there. No, really. Is that sounding weird?
No,
that's sounding
awesome. It's a beautiful
compliment.
She's modest and yet is aware.
Yeah. Really,
she's not that good of a wife either, but she has an excellent husband.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is. So he's amazing, and I feel like I never think I can do anything, and he makes me do it and believes in me enough and also, like, yells at me when I need to be yelled at. And
she's still saying that with a smile.
Yes.
Mickey, how do you pull this off?
We had to work a lot, actually, at creating
together.
A working relationship.
Mm-hmm. Which is really different
and
than
separating
being
because
the boss
a marriage
home.
And a working relationship are both intense.
Mm-hmm.
Together,
yes.
You almost quadruple the intensity of both.
Right.
The marriage has always been really easy. It's been the only thing in my life that I'd say I got lucky with, you know, like, oh, the job's always really sucked or whatever it is. But when it came to this guy, I was like, I cashed in my karma chips on that. But then the stranger element was now working together. And I was like, well, I'm the producer, because clearly it's my credit card. And I say that only because I get paid more, so I get to say that every now and then. Because he's a teacher. We know what teachers make in LA. I love you. I love you. I'm not saying anything bad. I have this like crazy day job, so that's what like supported me being able to do the money. So that was the credit card, and I pulled that over him. But he's the director, and I'm the actor. So then when you get into a fight over, well, how should this be, you know,
he's it's the director's vision.
It's the director's vision. And every now and then I'm like, but I'm the producer. Ha, ha, ha.
But the director is the producer hires his own boss who is called the director.
Exactly. Right. So I end up giving up, and I end up completely.
Or her own boss, excuse me.
Yes.
My sexism.
No worries. As a working relationship, I have to listen to him, and yes, I have to trust him, and I do, and he's amazing. And so, as an actor working with him, I feel lucky to have him as my director, because he is unbelievable to work with. He knows everything about the piece, and so he knows exactly where you can go, and I feel like he's intuitive. Like, he worked with Forrest very differently than how he directed me, you know, and in all the productions we've ever done together. He's really good at, you know, being intuitive with the different people, and so getting into this character is, and she's really different from me.
Right.
Really.
Which is exciting and scary.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't think I could do it, because normally he writes me really well, and I felt like this was a really
Describe
push.
Her and what were the things that you had to sort of access, if you can.
Yeah.
And I know I'm asking some very personal things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's more common than we'd like to admit, which is a 20-something, or it would totally apply to a young 30-something, where we all grow up thinking we can be anything we want. And that's what our parents tell you. You could do anything. You know, you could be, you know, the first African-American president,
right,
who's a woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's out there.
Right.
And so we grow up thinking that we can be. And then you hit some strange age and you go, you know what? None of my dreams came true.
Right.
We can't all be that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Some of us can. Some of us is going to make it.
It's the dark side of American exceptionalism.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a line in there. It's like, we can't all be astronauts and princesses. Like, if we all got to be whatever we want, then no one would run society.
No, we'd pour our coffee.
Right.
That's right.
We'd
That's
all be,
exactly
you
right.
know, cowboys and
right. And
firemen.
How many of my friends are now 30-something and single and desperately depressed about the fact that they didn't meet their Prince Charming,
right,
and they do live with 5 cats.
Ooh.
And I love cats. That's not a bad thing.
Oh, no,
right?
No, I just say, well, we all know what that means. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've crossed a line.
Yes.
And it's hard to come back.
Right. So I had to really kind of tap into the sadness. And like I said, my luck was Mickey. But no, you know, I've been stuck at a job for many years, and to really feel that and go into those dark places and feel disconnected from the world and alone, it was a lot of work. And he was a method actor when he used to act, and he really asked us to go there and to do the beats and to do the bios and sit down. And, you know, Forrest, the other actor, and I, we met at actual coffee shops and ran it, you know, and, you know, walked in, did the whole thing, and walked out. And, you know,
2 nights in a row, so mm-hmm. that it was the same.
Beautiful.
So doing the same thing.
Now, did you deliberately set out to make this kind of commentary about our times, about these kinds of relationships, about this culture at this moment?
I did. I mean, you know, I hate to say that. It sounds all...
No, it does not.
but I, as I was talking to a lot of people, and as I was 30-something, I don't even know when I did this anymore, or how old I am. I was in my 30s.
That means you're working hard.
Yes.
That's good.
I was in my 30s, and I was working early 30s, young 30s, and I still am. And I just was thinking, it hasn't happened yet. And why hasn't it happened? And I'm doing this. And I started talking to my other friends who were saying the same thing. And I started listening to sort of our parents' generation, who were, a lot of them were told, you know, go to school, get a job.
Right.
Not, you can do whatever you want.
Become a company man or company woman.
Well, right.
Mostly company men in those days.
And that was success. Yeah.
And
then you
success.
Felt good.
Right.
Yeah.
But and so I sort of started, I kept hearing it. I felt like it was something I wanted to address. And this was the venue in which it felt right to address it.
Because we're all really frustrated. And we can be easily depressed about how hard you try, and doesn't mean you make it.
And do we think that perhaps that dream is the problem? The dream is the oppressor?
Hmm.
That if people stopped
dreaming
so much and started trying to make something beautiful out of what's real, that they might actually be happier?
an appreciation for what you have.
An appreciation for what you have.
I think that's
living
important.
Living in the moment. And everyone says it, but it's true.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's fast. I think audiences will be fascinated by seeing all this dilemma play out within the confines of this relationship in this very specific time frame.
Well, the cool thing with this movie is that, you know, we couldn't afford explosions, so we could only afford a dialogue piece. So you are staring at two talking heads, so they better say something interesting.
Yeah.
And it's all real time. You know, you realize they meet, and in that first 30 minutes, that's the only time they spend together. And same thing with the second 30 minutes and the third. So there's the heightened, like, reality of it.
And that goes back to your theater roots.
Yes.
Yes.
Where if there's nothing happening in the dialogue, then there's nothing happening on stage.
Right.
Exactly.
Really, truly. You know, unless you're talking about a spectacle, but really a proper play needs to move along through dialogue.
Yes, and that's what I was looking for. But that's also why I wanted to go back to the rapid fire dialogue for some of it, because it's just get a lot of information out there.
And actually, those films, funnily enough, are very stagey, too.
Yes.
They really are very theatrical in the true sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is great, because I told them to watch these old movies like His Girl Friday and Bringing Up Baby, and now we have some 80-year-old patrons that have enjoyed the film very much.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother thinks it's phenomenal.
Because that's the thing their ears are used to listening to in their ear. That's interesting.
It reminds her, you know, on an unconscious level that this is a movie that, you know, she likes, which is great for us to, you know, because it is so contemporary and about, you know, these dreams and stuff. And then you realize that it probably does span past into generations. And at 80 years old, what are they feeling like?
Everybody's always, oh my God, you talk about, you know, knowing that what you have in front of you is really all you have, you'd know that at 80.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'd definitely know that at 80. Well, this is great. I mean, I think there's anything else you'd like to talk to the audience about or tell anybody that some things that we need to hear about this film or anything about your careers? What's coming next?
What's coming next? I've just finished shooting as a web series, Pirate Ninja Adventure Go.
Pirate Ninja Adventure ..
.. with an exclamation mark. Very exciting. It's about basically the Library of Congress has been contaminated by a meteor, and all the characters in the books have come to life, and now they have to make do in modern day Los Angeles. And so a union forms to regulate them, and they go on adventures, and ours follows a pirate and a ninja.
I'm loving this already. I'm seeing a major feature film. I'm sorry.
Right now it's set up. We've got 4 episodes all together. They're going to work as a pilot, and we're going to take it out and see if we can't expand its universe. It's destined to hit the web on September 18th.
Fantastic. Well, we will post. You keep in touch with me and post. Give me the address. We'll post it, and we'll make sure people.
Yes.
Follow
we don't have a website yet.
Do you have a website for your
film? For our film, it's there's the commit movie at myspace.com, which is an old one, and then there's also just 717productions.net, and 717 is the actual numbers.
And the other thing is, it's funny. After having a baby, we kind of took a little break, and now we're finally feeling like back to making our next one, and we were talking like, all right, what's the next independent one we'll make? And another 2-person movie.
Great.
Maybe with Forrest.
Maybe so. It sounds like it might need to happen.
It might.
Will you direct and star?
You know, maybe. She's always trying to talk me out of it, but...
No, because I feel like as a director, when you're also in it, it's just a little... You're going to lose... I feel like I worry that you're going to lose something.
Yeah, it's,
you know, like
it's
a director
horribly
needs...
for Clint Eastwood.
All right, not him. You'll
cross that bridge when you come to it.
Yes.
But you guys...
But I am the producer. I can hire or fire that director.
Oh, not if he's already started shooting. It might be problematic.
Damn.
Well, thank you guys so much. This has been a delightful interview.
Oh, thanks for having us. This is great.
So commit. Mickey Blaine, Nicole Blaine.
It's screening...
On
August
18th at 7:30 p.m. And so you can get tickets at www.dffla.com.
Yes.
Come
DFFLA.com.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.